Hey, what's up? As you can see, this is an emergency podcast. I've said many times before I would do this in case like something crazy happened, and usually nothing crazy happens. But this afternoon, I got on the treadmill. I was on the treadmill for 40 minutes. When I got off the treadmill, three major stories broke in the NFL. So I didn't want to leave you hanging with that. Obviously, there are waiver wire implications here. So let's go through them one by one, and I guess we can go through them in the order they happen. So Anthony Richardson was, in fact, benched for Joe Flacco. I think that's a big surprise, just given the implications here. Like, basically, this could be the team throwing in the towel on last year's fourth overall selection. That's another story for another time, but how does this impact things for waivers purposes? Well, first and foremost, don't even think about dropping Michael Pittman. Obviously, he's going to be a big beneficiary here. Pittman is a receiver who does require some accuracy, does require a quarterback who can get the ball into his hands. Gardner Minshew could do that last year. Gardner Minshew's not great, but he could at least do that. Anthony Richardson couldn't. Well, Joe Flacco can. So obviously he's a big beneficiary. The overall state of the offense, big beneficiary. But as far as Josh Downs, so I had mentioned in the previous podcast that he is 5 to 10%. I did move him up. He's third in my priority now. Still Tracy and Tillman ahead of him. But Downs now moves to third on the list. I have him at 7 to 15%. He is very widely available, so we have that to our advantage here. I wouldn't go overboard, but he has the look of a wide receiver three now. You know, maybe not the upside of Tillman, but, you know, I could see, like, if you wanted to go 16 or 17%, fine, if you really want to get him. But let somebody spend 40%, right? All right, so as far as Flacco, I still think, as of right now, still just a super flex ad because there are better streamers available this week. I'm not going to fault you if you say, no, I want him ahead of Sam Darnold, Bo Nix, Matthew Stafford, Jameis Winston. Fine. If that's how you see it, that's how you see it. I have him right behind Winston now, and I have him at 25 to 50% in super flex. Like, he is the second best ad if Tyrone Tracy is out there in super flex. Otherwise, he is the best ad of the week. Better than Cedric Tillman. Way better, in fact. So there you go on the Joe Flacco news. All right, next thing. Stephon Diggs. Torn ACL, out for the season. This sucks. Injury strikes again to the wide receiver core. Now, we are only one game removed from Nico Collins coming back. So you'll notice I don't even have Xavier Hutchinson in the waiver wire tool. Like, if you actually see it, I'll tell you why. He's filling in for Nico Collins. And if you didn't know he was on the field, like you weren't fully aware of it, you'd have no clue because he hasn't done anything. As soon as Nico comes back, I expect Hutchinson to move back to a reserve role. I actually think the biggest beneficiary here is John Mechie. Now, we've liked John Mechie for a while, right? Coming out of Alabama, thought there was some potential. He had the medical stuff, which is great that that's well in the rearview mirror at this point. And now he has an opportunity. Is he going to be great? No. I don't think so. I mean, granted, surprises can happen, but I would say, you know, in that 4 to 7% range, he's not the biggest priority at wide receiver. I have several wide receivers ahead of him, but he's not a bad player to look up as well here. The biggest beneficiary, obviously, other than when Nico Collins comes back, he's going to be right where he was, but it's Tank Dell. You know, if you have Tank Dell, now you're in wide receiver two territory. Big beneficiary there for you. CJ Stroud gets a little bit of a hit here. He does, but he still has Mixon. He still has Schultz. He'll have Collins back. He still has Dell. And I don't think Mechie's that bad either. So deep, not even deep, deep leagues, but slightly deeper leagues. Yeah, John Mechie, somebody to look up. He is widely available. And the third in our trifecta of holy crap things that happened today in the span of 40 minutes, Deontay Johnson traded to the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, for a fifth round pick, and the Panthers are sending a sixth round pick with him, whatever, swapping some picks. Basically got him for nothing. He is a rental play. This is a team that is in a window. They could certainly make a push to the Super Bowl. They have a quarterback playing at an MVP caliber level. Now, I had an exchange with somebody on the FTN Discord who said, oh, this is a terrible landing spot. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, they have so many pass catchers. And I said, no, they don't. They have one viable wide receiver. And he's very good. And this doesn't hurt Zay Flowers. They have two hit or miss tight ends and then nobody else. They have a guy who fools us at times, but this week had a a pass hit him literally in the chest. Not figuratively, it hit him in the chest. He could not catch it. Deontay Johnson is a big upgrade on Rashad Bateman. And yes, the Ravens will run more than most teams. But as we have seen, if teams will push them, they will throw the football. Not every game is going to be a blowout. Heck, Cleveland, a game that we thought could have been a blowout, they lost. So they're going to throw the ball a little bit, and Lamar is very good. And now you have a complementary weapon to Zay Flowers. They're not the same type of player, and that's a good thing. And this is not a 1-2 situation. This is a 1-1A situation. Very much so. I don't care who the 1 is and who the 1A is. They're both going to be involved in this offense. And it's not bad for Deontay Johnson because he was definitely circling the drain in Carolina. Now, of course, as we've seen with DeAndre Hopkins, with Amari Cooper, maybe not with Devontae Adams, but generally speaking, it will take these guys a minute to get acclimated. And I don't mean a single minute literally. I mean that one figuratively. It'll take him a couple weeks to get acclimated and up to speed. Maybe we see a little bit of work initially, and then it ramps up from there. But again, much better situation overall for Deontay Johnson in this offense. And we've seen, like, hey, Andy Dalton, when you have a quarterback who can deliver the rock to him, he can be very productive. So I actually don't mind this landing spot whatsoever. Now, in terms of the fallout, I would say Xavier Leggett is the biggest beneficiary. So I did move him up. I have him in my top 10 now and at 5 to 10%. So if you want to go out and grab him, well, it's still a mess quarterback situation-wise, but the top wide receiver is the top wide receiver. And I still think there's a chance they trade Adam Thielen. So I'm not even really worried about the Adam Thielen portion of all of this. Leggett gives you at least some upside. And I guess to a lesser extent, you could still be looking at Jalen Coker. The trade will open up a larger role, but beyond that, and we'll go like 3 to 5% on him. Again, the quarterback situation isn't good. You still have Thielen, so I'm more confident in Xavier Leggett than I am in Jalen Coker, but deeper leagues, you may have to take a shot on that dude. So there you go. And by the way, I mean, I guess it's not the worst case scenario, worst idea to grab Adam Thielen in case they don't trade him. He just doesn't have the ceiling of Xavier Leggett. Okay. Those are the three things. What a crazy hour in the NFL. No music today. That's it. I'll come back on Thursday on this feed, but definitely didn't want to leave you hanging with that. So I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.